In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Children, today is the feast of Pope St. Martin the First. And St. Martin was born in a town called Todi in Umbria, which is a section of Italy. And ever from his youth, he was known to be pretty smart and also very pious. And one day decided that he had a vocation to the priesthood, and so he started to study. And while he was still in the seminary, and he was still studying, he was only a deacon at this point, he was known to be so smart and pious that the Pope personally chose him, Theodore the First, personally chose St. Martin to be what we call a legate, that is a representative, to Constantinople. And so only as a deacon he started to go back and forth to do the Pope's business over there, and eventually was ordained a priest and all of these things. And then when Pope Theodore died, they elected Martin to be the next pope. So when he took over, the church was not in a very quiet time. It hardly ever is, but it was not very quiet, but there were people making a good deal of trouble at that time. They were heretics known as, the heresy that they practiced was known as monothelism, which is that they said that Jesus didn't have two wills. We know as Catholics that he had two wills. His will is God and his will is man, and they're completely united. But they said he only had the divine will. He didn't have the human will. And so they got together at the Lateran Basilica in the synod of the Pope and a bunch of bishops, and they condemned this heresy. And while they were there, some of the bishops, they knew that the emperor, his name was Constans II, they knew the emperor was following along with this heresy, and so they didn't want him to get all angry at them and to possibly have bad things happen to them. So they said, well, why don't we just stay quiet? Why don't their side agree to not talk about it, and we won't talk about it, and then we'll just pretend it never happened, and we'll just keep moving forward. But Martin the First, Pope at the time, he said, No way. We're not going to just sit here and ignore that these people are doing something evil. We have to address it. And I'm not going to cover up the truth of God, which is a good thing, in order to make peace with the man. So no, we're going to condemn this heresy, and we're going to condemn it very harshly. And they did. And because of that, just as was predicted, Constans got very angry, and he decided that he wanted to have Pope Martin the First arrested. And this is oftentimes what happens when people, if they're too prideful, they don't think much of God, and they only think of what they want. Sometimes you'll see that they, instead of correcting their bad ways, they'll just get angry about it. And so that's what Constans was. He wasn't a very nice man. And so he got very angry, and he said, go get me Martin. Either kill him or bring him to me. And so he sent out this first person to go get him. And as he tried to go capture the Pope, he was immediately struck blind and couldn't do it. And instead of realizing that, uh-oh, something bad's happening to these people going to collect the Pope, he sent out another person. He was bound and determined to get him. And so the second person finally arrived, and Martin was in prayer in the church. He was sick at the time. He was very sick, but he still made it a point to get down to the church and make a visit. And they found him there before the Blessed Sacrament, and they captured him right there, and they put him on a ship for a long journey. And he got very, very ill with the illness called dysentery, which is a really nasty stomach problem. And so he got very ill in there, and they threw him in jail and kind of forgot about him for 3 months. Just threw him in there and left him to rot. He was barely even fed. He was completely sick and really had a rough go of things. They said that they didn't even let him clean himself. He wrote a letter at one point. He says, they won't even let me wash myself. It has been over 47 days since I've had any kind of cleaning, not even with cold water. And 47 days, that's a really long time. Even for a European, that's a very long time to go without bathing. And so he really was stinky and dirty and just sick and, you know, just having a rough go of things. And so finally, after 3 months, they brought him before the emperor, and they had this trial in which he wasn't even really allowed to speak. They didn't even let him say his piece, and they tried him for treason, which was not really his crime. And they convicted him and threw him back in jail again for another 3 months. But finally, they decided that they didn't want to kill him, they'll just banish him. So they collected him, put him on a boat, and sent him to Crimea. And he was left there for the rest of his life, and he couldn't leave. And while he was there, his hardships didn't end. He was still battling illness, and also, everybody there treated him like dirt. They didn't care about him at all. They weren't very nice people in that area. And so he couldn't even get himself food oftentimes. He was there starving, literally, and everybody over in Rome, who was supposed to be on his side, everybody in the church, they had forgotten about him. They basically didn't care. And so he started writing letters to them, beseeching them, please, just send me some food. Send me something to drink. I'm dying slowly out here. But those people, they had no charity in their hearts, and very few of them shared with the poor Pope. And so he suffered there for 2 years until finally he died of all of his trials and was the last martyr Pope. So now, when he passed away, though, he was instantly known for his miracles because he was so pious in that suffering. Even though he was begging people for food, as he should be, because he was starving to death, he never once ever held a grudge against the people that put him there. He never once held any kind of anger towards those who were not giving him food or those who had falsely accused him. Instead, he spent his time praying for all of those who were persecuting him and torturing him in this terrible way. He prayed for their souls. He prayed that they would repent. He offered up his suffering for them. Which makes us think to ourselves, children, what do we do when people aren't all that nice to us? What do we do when things don't go our way? We see what the saints did. We see what so many saints, including Pope St. Martin, did. He didn't get angry or anything. He just prayed. That's the way of the saints. But what do you do? Do you perhaps get angry? Do you scream and shout and kind of throw a fit about it? Do you try to get even? That's not the way of the saints. If you do, so we have to think about that for ourselves. What's our number one goal? To get to heaven, to be a saint. And the only way we can do that is to follow the example of the saints. So we, when someone does something to us that we don't like, or something doesn't go our way, pray for them. Offer it up as a little penance. Offer up a little prayer for them. And don't get angry or even, but wish them the best for their souls. And if you do that, then you have true charity in your hearts. And then with that charity, you can one day become a saint too. May God bless you in the name of the Father.